Marge, I have a doubt.
Yeah, sure.
How can faith and doubt coexist simultaneously?
Faith and doubt, they are instruments of different strata or different parts of our being. We in this visible world, we are not homogeneous, we are not homogeneous, right? This world. We have two major parts of ourselves. This is I, Atma. I and my. So these are two conceptions that oftenly are repeated in Holy Scriptures. So it's me, myself, and then I have like extensions of me. It's my intelligence, my mind, my senses, and my objects that I observe. So and each and every layer of myself or part of myself has its own instrument. So, intelligence that we operate with has an instrument of operation which is called doubt. So this is the function of intelligence. It divides and rejects unacceptable, and then feelings or senses perceive acceptable by the intelligence and register the qualities of what intelligence gave to senses. So, intelligent rejects once when we go ahead to our goal, no matter which goal we strive for. Intelligent rejects what is not acceptable. So when we choose a new object of our life, new purpose of our life, the Adhokchaja, the one who cannot be perceived by senses and cannot be grabbed by intelligence. So we take another instrument, which is called faith. So, but that instrument we do not obtain immediately, as in first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in first chapter, first canto, it says that the truth does not appear suddenly, out of nothing. It appears slowly, gradually, as sun rises from beyond the horizon. First, we don't see the sun. We see the silhouettes of the objects. Then we can perceive when it rises more and more, then we can see the farben. Colors. Then we see colors of the objects. First, silhouettes, the lines, then colors, and then we can see the sun itself. So this is how we gradually perceive Shri Krishna, the truth, the supreme truth. So, but prior to that, before we can perceive the Lord, we need to use doubts. The instrument of our intelligence. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj says there is one chapter in Sermons of a Guardian of Devotion, which is called Advantages or Benefits of Doubts. Doubts help us to reject unacceptable, reject something undesirable. And with faith we can perceive the opposite to undesirable. Because intelligence with its doubts cannot perceive the gunas of particular object. Intelligence deals with the existence of things, not with qualities. With intelligence, we cannot know things, how they look, how they smell. With intelligence, we can detect the presence or existence of something, but not the particular qualities of this something. So with intelligence or doubts, we can, if we use it, we can detect the presence of the supervising being or God, the all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-existing, all omnipresent, they call it. So with intelligence we can understand, by doubts, we can understand that there is someone, not something, but already someone, that omnipresent, knowing everything, and all-powerful. This is the function of intelligence. And once we come to this conclusion, then intelligence is useless, because we cannot perceive we cannot detect the gunas, or the qualities of that omnipresent and all-powerful. This, for this, we need to accept the authority of someone. And this is very risky, because that someone, who that authority, may be a cheater. So that is risky, but there is no other way to perceive the qualities, how he looks like, how he smells like, how he is touchable, without delegating our ability to perceive things to someone, to authority, or the guru, Shri Guru. That is risky, but there is no other way. So, once we come to conclusion that there is the super being or super soul, the Lord of my being, we have to reject intelligence, because it is useless. It is too heavy to carry on intelligence, and we have to take another instrument of myself, which is faith. So, as I said, we have two major strata, I and mine. So once we come to conclusion that I exist and there is the existence of someone super being, super soul, then I have to reject that strata which is called mind. There is no mind anymore. Not mine anymore. It's only me and super being. And the instrument of me is faith. So I can connect myself to that super self only with the rope of faith, and opposite to this, in this world, I can connect myself to the observed things with the ropes that are called senses. But as for super being, I can connect myself with the rope of faith. So we have to reject material senses, and finally we have to reject intelligence or doubts. Any doubts? Yes.
There's a Bhakti Yoga. The Bhakti Yoga science, Vaishnavism, is not blind faith. It's not blind faith. Is that doubt in order that we use doubt, so it not becomes blind faith?
We must to divide such ideas as blind faith and full faith. It is not the same. Blind faith is that kind of faith that we apply to objects of exploitation. If I want to use something for my own benefit, then that kind of faith is called blind faith. And full faith is applicable to something, someone that I don't want to use, but I want to be used by. This is full faith. Because we believe that on the opposite end of our relations with that someone, that super being, is all merciful super being. The super being is all merciful because he is all powerful. If you are all powerful, then there is no reason for you to be hostile or to be inimical to someone, because you're all powerful. Nothing can hurt you, no one can hurt you. So you are merciful. This is our hope, that the Lord, or all-powerful super being, is all-merciful. And because of this, if we approach Him in mood of service, or we ask Him, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, meaning, please, oh Lord, don't leave me alone. Use me for your purpose. He will reciprocate. This is our faith, that He will reciprocate. If we want to be used by Him, He will kindly accept our angibot, our offer. If we say, oh my Lord, please use me, He will accept it. This is our faith. So this is called full faith. Oh my Lord, please use me, and I believe that You will come forward and you will use me. But if we approach to the Lord with the attitude that we used to, oh Lord, I want to use You, oh Lord, I want to exploit You, then of course he will reciprocate, but He will reciprocate through His agent called Maya. He will give the substitute of Himself, so we can exercise on, which is called Maya. So we will try to use Him. So the faith to usable objects is called blind faith, because we are blind. We lose our vision through Maya. We lose our vision by her power. So this is called blind faith. She takes away our ability to see. But if we have, I call it full faith, then we don't lose. Krishna does not remove our vision. It is called full faith. Or in terms of Srila Siddhartha Maharaj, full-fledged faith. Full or full-fledged faith. Of course, in very intimate stages of relations with this super, with this Puman, a super masculine being, we also lose our vision. But Krishna says, with the lamp of knowledge, I remove your blindness. But we have tendency to lose. But it's very, very high position. So, any threats or doubts? Someone wants to threaten me or shaken my faith? Someone wants to declare disadvantages of a association with devotees. Yes, and regarding to your question yesterday, why in Srimad Bhagavatam there is no name of Super Shi or the primal gopi? Because Bhagavatam speaks only about her and spoken by her. So, by Sri Radha. It's her speaking through the mouth of Shuka. So this is the reason why she doesn't mention her name. This is first reason. And second reason, she gives the room to someone who will speak about her. So in most intimate parts of Srimad Bhagavatam, as we mentioned yesterday, when Uddhava comes to Vrindavan and he looks like Krishna. He looks like Krishna, and all gopis in the morning, all gopis take him for Krishna. But then it says, but one gopi sits down at the well and starts speaking to a bumblebee. So all of them, they are kind of an illusion. They take someone who looks like Krishna for Krishna, but not her. So this is her, but again, her name is not mentioned. She starts speaking to bumblebee, and she's distressed, of course, and she mocks him. He says, "Oh, you're Krishna." she looks at bumblebee. All other are looking at Uddhava, but she not. She does not. She's not. She looking at bumblebee and she says, "No, he is not Krishna. You are Krishna. That creature with black." Black yellow butt.
Body.
Huh?
Body.
Yeah, the rear part of body. And she says, "You're Krishna." Again, her name is not mentioned. And why she lets someone to mention her name, and who can mention her name? Someone from her clan, from her obedient friends, not equal friends, but some younger friends. And that clan or that group of friends. Teenagers, teenage girls, they are called Rupa group or Rupanuga. And the head of this group speaks of her and mentions her name 4,500 years later in her, when she comes down as Rupa Goswami. In her or his different place that she writes, and then Krishnadas Kaviraj Prabhu, he quotes different shlokas of Rupa Goswami in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is why it is not mentioned, because she does not mention her name. She delegates this to someone she cooperates with in service to Krishna Shyama Sundar. So any other threats? Wants to threaten my position?
Maharaj, I definitely don't want to threaten you.
Thank you.
I was wondering, how can you talk about faith, communicate the positive aspect of faith to someone that doesn't have faith?
You mean how can we propagate our ideals to someone who has no faith?
Who has no faith? Yes.
Yeah, this is that issue. Krishna raises in the last verses of Bhagavad Gita. Now, Krishna says there is no greater service to me, but speak about our discussion today. Krishna discussed certain subject matters with Arjuna, and then he says, so if you retell or broadcast that discussion of ourselves to others, then that's the best service to me. But then, in next verse, I think right next verse, he says, but don't tell this to those who have no faith or very weak faith, something like that. Can you correct me?
Like that, who don't have faith or who don't wish to hear it. Or...
something like that. So those who don't have faith. So how can we harmonize this? So before telling or before broadcasting Bhagavad Gita or subject matters concerning faith, we have to shaken their faith, because everyone has faith. Faith is the fundamental principle of our existence. Our personal vilasa or our movements. We cannot move physically or mentally if we don't have the ground to move. If we are, in space with no ground, we cannot move. If you're in open space, you cannot move. You have to push yourself from something, then you can start moving. That's zero gravity. So either we want to move mentally, or that means think, or physically means walk or fly or swim. We need some ground, and that ground is called faith. Everyone has faith. Of course, that may be false faith or genuine faith, but it must be faith. So, to show him the object of new faith, such exalted object as prema bhakti. As Krishna in last parts of Bhagavad Gita, he speaks of prema bhakti to Arjuna. That means reject everything. That means throw all objects of faith. or throw all grounds of yourself and just and grab me and follow me. That is called vraja. Vraja means to wander. What do you say? Wandering. Vraja means vraja is not particular place. Vraja. Vraja means to move around like gypsies. So, Nanda Maharaja's people, they are gypsies because when they left Gokula, when they left the first place, you remember they sat down and decided to move from that place. Gokula, I think. They had that village, so they started moving around. So they didn't have the village. They had bull carts. So Krishna says, reject all everything and just follow our people. Let my people go. That is the highest idea. Follow the Lord, which has no particular place to stay. It is something superior to truth. Truth means something unmovable. Something stable. This is the definition of Vishnu. Vishnu, he is unmovable. You may move, but he is not movable. This is why we go we circumambulate, we show that we can move, but the truth is unmovable. So Vaikuntha is the realm of truth, unmovable. But Krishna says, no, I beyond Vaikuntha. And that abode above Vaikuntha is a Prakriti. It is always moving. So this is what we have to tell people on faith. This is what we supposed to tell people, that the Lord is not stable. The super truth, you cannot grasp it. It always runs away from you. Of course, even people who have faith in Lord, what to speak of materialists, they wouldn't get this idea. They wouldn't appreciate this idea right away. So, and Krishna says, you have to tell this. Because all other scriptures, they speak about Vaikuntha, the truth. And Krishna says, but I order you to tell about above truth, the truth beyond Vaikuntha. So how can we harmonize this? Then the answer is to shaken their faith. You. So in practical way, you ask them what you believe in, and everyone has his or her faith, as we said before, because this is the platform of our movements. So once he discloses his objects of faith, you mock them. You say, oh, this is all false. And when you shake their faith, then you can replace their faith, shaken faith, by your new faith, new era faith. Because if you say if you say right way, there is Krishna, what you believe in, there is Krishna, he has blackish color, he holds his flute and he attracts gopis and he casts illusion on his mother and so that she ties him to that thing, so they will not accept. But if you shaken their faith, then you can give new faith. Of course, when they hear that he has friends who ride him on his shoulders, or he has father, or he has mother, no one will accept it. Because the Lord, he is primal being. He cannot have mother. But we say, no, this is Bhagavan, but there is Svayam Bhagavan. But Svayam Bhagavan has mother and father. Svayam Bhagavan has his source. Vishnu has no source. He has no father and mother. And this is very, this is what everyone can accept. If you say the Lord is great, he has no source, no father, no mother, no uncle, no stepbrother that superior to him by position and by age. So who can believe that the Lord in his primal position has father and mother, supposedly that existed before his appearance?
Maharaj, if someone has faith in something superficial, what is the right way to, as you said, shape the object of the faith but not hurt the faith of the person?
You mean superficial, like chakras and ghosts?
Like the faith is a, you know, maybe it's a, on a wrong object of faith, but faith itself is important. So how to change the object of faith without hurting it?
The purpose of faith, there must be some ultimate or final purpose of faith. So if you start digging down to the origin of his faith, why he has that faith, you come eventually to idea that he wants to be God or Lord of everything. So why he believes in chakra or aliens or whatever, what they believe now, or I don't know, planet Nibiru. Why they believe it? So if you go deeper and deeper, he will tell you, oh, because I want to be the Lord of universe, or I want to be the creator. I want to create my own universe. That means I want to more and more pratishtha. Pratishtha means self-establishment. Pratishtha. Super-establishment of myself. I want to broad up my existence to the existence of the Lord. This is the ultimate purpose of their faith. So, let's say they believe in aliens. So, why they believe in aliens? Because eventually they will come down and save the few, because the planet will be destroyed, but they come down and they will save the chosen ones who will now send $400 to the mediator. There was one guy who said that soon aliens will come, but they will save not everyone because their spaceships cannot contain all humanity. Only those who transfer $400 to him, they surely to be saved. But that iron saviors.
Similar to ideas of Christianity. Modern.
Yeah, yeah. That idea migrates from ages, from different persons and different communities, different congregations in different shapes. And what do you think? How many people transferred $400? Thousands. Why? Because they want to be saved. They would be taken by aliens and placed in super planet where there is unlimited resources of exploitation, and you can use them, that resources. And what's the meaning of being able to use unlimited resources? It's the meaning of the Lord. He can use it. So all their faith based on desire to become all-powerful. An idea of Savior, if I visit my church or my mosque or my whatever every now and then my name will be written down in a book of life, and when the Savior with long hair and nice beard come down, not in spaceship but without spaceship like this, as he ascended in his handmade cotton robe, he will descend as well, and he will pull me out from my tomb and take me and 144,000 others, because it says that in this book of life there is room only for 144,000 names. Basta. No more. Because the Lord, the Savior, cannot save an unlimited number of devoted. This is why we accept Krishna, because Krishna has a thicker book. And obviously this 144,000 places already taken by others for 2,000 years already been filled up even on borders. That faith in supernatural things, that's based on desire to be Lord. But we don't want to be the Lord of everything or anything. We want to be lorded, or we want to be used by someone.
Maharaj,
yeah.
I thought faith was always used for faith in the transcendental thing, faith in the faithful world, faith is the heart and halo of Srimad Bhagavatam. And now it's like faith can be used. I thought faith is always according to a higher intelligence.
If we say gold, in ideal, gold is that metal of 100% gold. But In this world, we don't use 100% gold. We use 24 carat, 18 carat, whatever. It is mixture with some other metal. But still we call it gold. Though it is mixture with silver, copper, to harden it, because the gold is very soft material. So to harden it, we have to mix it with some more hard materials. So same faith. Ideally, it is faith to the Lord. It's pure faith. But when we place that faith, which is, as I said, part of ourselves, a living being cannot live without faith. But when that pure faith is mixed with idea of exploitation, it becomes a mixture. But still we call it faith, as we call gold.
Isn't that then another word, like, I believe or something?
But this question to carriers of English language. Like we say gold, right? Or we say a citizen. Ideally, it's one who follows all rules and pays all taxes. That is ideal, and we call him citizen. But not everyone, I tend to think everyone, not follow all rules and try to hide some funds of taxing. But still, we call these people citizen. Anyway, we call it. So there is idea or ideal. Ideal, it's a Greek word. Comes from Greek language, means image. What we say, image or form, it is Latin form, and Greeks used to say ideal. So ideal is essence or form of something. So faith is its faith to the Lord. But when we direct our faith to something material, something objective, we still call it faith, but it is a low-grade faith. So like we say, sweetness. The ideal of sweetness is rock sugar. It is sweetness in ultimate percentage, ultimate, ultimate manifestation. It is ideal, the rock sugar, because there is nothing but sugar there. So faith, the ideal of faith, is faith to the Lord. In our tradition, it is faith to Sri Radha. And that is ideal. And when we mixture that with... And that form of faith is so there is Radha, she is ideal of love, the image of love, full love, and form of faith or ideal of faith to Radha is Lalita. She is the manifestation, full manifestation of faith. Not Lalita Madhava, Lalita. So, like, each and every idea has its ultimate ideal, or ultimate, there's idea and ideal. Idea and the manifestation, or original form of that. Like laziness. What is the image of it, the ideal of laziness? I would say myself, but there is one beast, panda, or very lazy. You know that, I don't know the name, I know, знаете, ленивец такой.
Такой. He looks like a bear, and he climbs trees.
Sloth. So he is... That creature is the ideal of faith. Oh, I'm sorry, of laziness.
Personification of laziness.
Yes. Oh, Adi, laziness. Of course, Krishna says, I am Adi Guru, he says. So he is the ideal of guru. In form of Shri Guru. Okay, I think there is no other questions. Cannot be, because we discussed everything possible. Hari Haraya Nama. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Namaha. Keshavaya Namaha.
Guru Vaishnava Pada.